Well, dear friends, I want to say happy Valentine's to you. And I hope you each received a Valentine. Did you get one of those this morning? It happens to be the church bulletin. But it speaks of faith, hope, and love. And a wonderful verse there, the greatest of these is love. And I see some of you are even wearing red today, just to remind us of love. By the way, I did happen to hear about a young woman who on Valentine's said to her young man, "Do you love me with all your heart and soul?" That was Becky asking Dave on Valentine's Day. He said, "Mm-hmm." She went on to say, "Do you think I'm the most beautiful girl on the planet?" And he said, "Mm-hmm." And then she asked, "Do you think my lips are like rose petals?" He said, "Mm-hmm." And she said, "Oh, Dave, you say the most beautiful things." I wonder if we treat our Lord that way. He's been loving us with eternal love. We've been singing about it here today. And by the way, thanks to our choir. What ministry you have. Thank you again. That was so good. And I'm looking forward to the Easter season when we hear so much wonderful music from them. They're preparing every week here for that. But God puts music in our hearts as a means of responding and not just saying, "Mm-hmm," but saying, "I love you, Lord." And I'd like you to think with me this morning about getting ready for the wedding. Maybe you'll notice in your bulletin a hot pink sheet like this. Thanks to Linda for doing that. That's very fitting for our subject this morning, ready for the wedding. And I want you to, by the way, don't you love weddings? Adrian and I got invited to a wedding recently. It's coming up on May the 20th. A young lady by the name of Krista, she just completed her nursing degree out at University of British Columbia, and now she is a nurse in Hamilton at the General Hospital. And she is engaged to a young man by the name of Luke, who just finished his master's degree in physiotherapy at McMaster and now is practicing in Hamilton. And they've invited us to their wedding on May the 20th. Now, it just so happens that Krista is our granddaughter. And they've even asked me to officiate, to tie the knot. So we're looking forward to that. Weddings are wonderful events. Oh, by the way, you know, I want to show you something interesting here. Thank you, honey. Oh, by the way, my Valentine, thank you very much. I need to tell you that Adrian has been married for over 50 years. But when we were celebrating our 50th anniversary, we decided on our 49th anniversary, now that we're entering our 50th year, to celebrate the whole year. We found several ways to do that. One of them was to read our love letters back again. It so happened that Adrian and I graduated in the same year from a Christian college down in Tennessee. Then I went off to seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and she went to work for a Christian ministry in Chicago. And we wrote lots of letters. And it turned out we have about 700 letters, half of hers and half mine, to each other. And she had them all organized. And so for our 50th year, we enjoyed several months of reading back and forth to each other and reliving, walking through a growing courtship. And we came to a paragraph. And I said to Adrian, "You know, our kids ought to be aware of that." And so we marked it. We read a little farther. Here's another one that maybe our kids ought to be aware of. And on and on. Well, she typed those all into the computer, and we decided, let's give that to our kids on our 50th wedding anniversary. We thought about all these pages. Well, to make a long story short, the whole idea evolved into a book called Courtship Chronicles, A Love Story. And since it's Valentine's, Adrian sent this to me the February the 14th before our wedding in June the 15th. And in the Valentine, she wrote a poem. It's interesting, isn't it? When you fall in love, you can sometimes write poetry. And she did. And it's entitled, Because of Love. And here's what she said. Our precious Savior up above came to this earth because of love, to save dear souls so sick with sin that they might have himself within. It is because of love so free that he now dwells in you and me. And now our lives are full of praise because he hallows all our days. Because of love, dear one, 'tis true that God is making one of two. I, to be your faithful bride, will walk together side by side. Oh, what a joy and holy bliss to know our Lord has given us this and planned it all in heaven above because of love, because of love. Now, she had asked me sometime before, I want you to write a song for our wedding, and I want you to sing it to me as I'm walking down the aisle. And she said, I don't want to hear it until that moment. And as I got that poem from her, it occurred to me, maybe we could just set that to music. And so all I had to do is just change one line where she says, I to be your faithful bride, and I put, you, sweetheart, to be my bride. And I sang it to her as she came down the aisle. And on our honeymoon, as we were heading north from, we were married in Hammond, Indiana, and up through Chicago and Milwaukee and all the way up to the northern peninsula of Michigan, where we had a week's honeymoon. And as we were traveling, she said, that song you sang, it was so beautiful. It's just the way I wish I could have said it myself. I said, my dear, you did say it. I sang your words. And by the way, if you're interested in a book like that, you can get it over the internet for $16.95. We do have a few copies here today that we could have for 10 if you want one. You can see Adrian after the service. But I would recommend it for people who are concerned about entering into an engagement period, a courtship period, and keeping it pure. And you'll discover that as you read this book. And a couple that wants to honor the Lord and have no regrets. It's also a good book to read just if you're interested in reading love stories. But so much for that. I have another Valentine. I hold it in my hands. Did you bring your Valentine? God's love letter to us. I'd like you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. And as we think about getting ready for the wedding, did you know there's a wedding coming up? The wedding, not just of the century, the wedding of all eternity. And this wedding is of Jesus our Savior, who is going to be married to his bride, the church. That is all the redeemed ones, everybody who's received Jesus as Savior. I'm looking at you all over this place. And every one of you who has received Jesus Christ as Savior, you're part of the bride. Did you know that? And the wedding's coming. And on your hot pink sheet, would you read with me the verse that is our text? Read it out loud with me. Let us rejoice and be glad and give God the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. ready for the wedding. And that's what I'm interested in being. And now I'd like for you to see the context in which we find that verse. Do you love the book of Revelation? This finale of the grand plan of salvation? And if you were reading the previous chapters of Revelation, you would discover the great period of 7 years of tremendous tribulation that comes on this world, climaxed by the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus comes back and faces all the enemies of those who hate him, and he wins. And we who have been caught up to be with him in the air, in chapter 19, it tells a few verses later that we come back with him to reign with Christ for a whole 1,000 years and then forever and ever to be with the Lord. Are you excited about that? Did you realize that this invitation has gone out to everybody here? There may be some who have never yet received Jesus as Savior who are sitting right here in this audience. I've got good news for you. This invitation now comes to you. As it says in chapter 21, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Holy Spirit says, come. And maybe it's not only my voice you're hearing this morning, but I hope it's the Holy Spirit's voice who's tugging at your heart saying, come, come. Trust Jesus as your Savior. And I, speaking on behalf of you, the Bride of Christ, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Be ready for this wedding. But now I'd like you to turn to chapter 19, and verses 1 to 9 are the context in which I want us to read this passage. May I invite you to stand with me as, in honor of our Lord and his written living word, let's listen to these amazing verses. This is the context. Here now, heaven is seen. And we find the battle of Armageddon has been won, and our Savior now is on the throne. And notice the response. After these things, I heard, as it were, a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they said, hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sits on the throne, saying, amen! Hallelujah! And a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself, what's the next word, class? Ready. Ready. The bride has made herself ready, and it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. May God bless this, his word, to our hearts. Father in heaven, teach us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, friends. You know, it's interesting that Jesus told 2 wedding stories. And he told these to teach the importance of being ready for his return and the marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll find both of these stories in the book of Matthew. And I'd like you to turn with me, first of all, to Matthew chapter 22. Here we find this account that Jesus tells of a king who was preparing a wedding feast for his son. This is a parable, it says. What does parable mean? Well, it's that word is a Greek word. The original word is parabolo. Two words, para and balo. And we say parable. Para means to come alongside. So you think about a parallelogram and running parallel. You ever parallel park? That's the idea. You come alongside. And try not to scrape anybody's fender. But the balo in the Greek means to throw. So a parable is a teaching thrown alongside of a truth that you want to teach. And Jesus wants to teach about the fact that he's coming again. His Father has prepared for a great wedding feast that we read about in Revelation 19. And the invitation has gone out to people, but some refuse it and others respond. Let's see what it says here. Notice, first of all, and as you look at this with me, your notes, this parable of the marriage feast for the king's son. And I want you to notice, first of all, that the king's invited guests refused to come. You'll see that here in verses 1 to 7. They refused to come. Let's read that. Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, verse 2, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and he sent out his slaves to call them who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fattened livestock, all are butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' Two invitations go out here. But look at verse 5. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire." Now, this parable is actually speaking about how the gospel and Jesus came first to the Jewish people. But they refused him. You remember what John said in his gospel, John 1, verse 11? He speaks, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Then it goes on to verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." And that's what we find now in the next verses. The king's invited guest, by the way, let's write this down here. Now, I want you to see verses 8 to 10. New invitations now go out to others who came. Look at it in verse 8 and 9 and 10. "Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests." And aren't you glad that the gospel came to all of us who were not Jews originally? I don't think I've got any Jewish blood in me, but I'm glad the gospel went to the Gentiles as well. That's what I am. Aren't you glad the gospel came to all of us? And notice it says here, even in verse 10, both evil and good. People who had good reputations, people who had bad reputations, but this gospel was for everybody. This invitation to the wedding, the king gave this to everybody. And many came. Notice this, that the king supplied wedding garments for all. But one refused to wear what the king provided, and so he was thrown out. Look at it in verse 11 and following. "But when the king came in to look over all the dinner guests," can you just imagine that? That hall just filled with hundreds of people, but he saw one person there not dressed in wedding clothes. Now, you've got to understand that really the story doesn't tell us exactly here, but it suggested all of these people from the streets, a lot of them just street people, they couldn't run home and put on a wedding gown. They didn't have that, but the king provided it for them when they came in. But notice one person comes in, he says, I don't need that. I'll just stand here in my own clothes. But when verse 11, when the king came in to look over the wedding guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And this fellow was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And what is this telling us? That if I refuse to accept the wedding garment that Jesus purchased for me at Calvary to remove my sin and to cover me in the righteousness of the Lord, I'm not fit for the wedding. As God looks through this roof this morning and sees every one of us here, he sees every one of you. Now, you're all looking fine in many different colors here. But you know how God sees you this morning? Every one of you who's received Christ as Savior, you are dressed in white. That's what he sees. Clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which he bought at Calvary. But a person who says, I don't need that, I'm good enough. What does the Bible say? Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's how God sees it, just like this king saw that man standing there. Romans chapter 13, verse 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. What does that say? Put on Jesus. So you're wearing Jesus. He's covering you with his goodness, his righteousness. And if you want to be ready for the wedding, it's essential that you receive his robe that he puts upon you. Well, Jesus taught this. That's the lesson that we find here, that this lesson is we must receive Christ's righteousness in order to be ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll see that in these verses, Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9. Look what it says. Paul said this, not having a righteousness of my own, but the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And look at this scripture from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Read this with me, will you? Out loud. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. And who's doing the wrapping? It's God himself. Aren't you glad for that? What a Savior. Now, I want you to look at a second parable. Jesus is teaching again about the importance of being ready for the wedding. Go over to chapter 25 of Matthew. And verses 1 and following, we find the parable of the 10 virgins, or you could say the 10 bridesmaids. And I want you to notice, first of all, that these 10 bridesmaids were waiting for the groom to bring his bride home for the marriage celebration. We read that in verses 1 to 7. And let me give you an idea of how weddings went back in those days, and they still do in much of the Mideastern countries. An engagement takes place, often arranged by the parents. But the groom-to-be goes to the home of the bride and pays a dowry. It could be in the form of money or cattle or whatever. And then he says, I'm going home now to my father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for us there. And kind of like a Dottie house, maybe, type of thing that we have around these parts. And then I'm going to come back for you and take you to be with me. Does that sound anything like John chapter 14? Jesus is talking to representatives of his bride in that upper room, and he said, don't let your heart be troubled. He says, believe in God, believe also in me. Now, in my Father's house are many mansions, and now I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also, and we'll be together forever. Amen. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He died on the cross the next day. He rose again the third day. He ascended into heaven 40 days later, and he's coming back again soon. Now, while he's gone, there's people are waiting for the big celebration, for the wedding feast over here. And these 10 bridesmaids represent that. Let's read it. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent or wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent or wise ones took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, and by the way, we're in that delaying, it seems like a delay, doesn't it? Don't you wish Jesus had come before? He's coming soon. How are your lamps? You got them lit? Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Remember that? Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Oh, sing. Sing, Hosanna. Sing, Hosanna. Sing, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing, yeah, Hosanna. Sing, Hosanna. Sing, Hosanna to the King. Now, the problem is, look at here, verse 6, but at midnight... Oh, verse 5. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. So the 10 brides were waiting. But now, only 5 were ready. Look at this in verse 8 and following. And the foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent or the wise answered, saying, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were gone, going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were, what's the next word? Ready, there it is again. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered and said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. And then Jesus gives this final word. Listen to this. This is the lesson. Christ's return is imminent. That means it could happen at any moment. And so he says in verse 13, be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. So are you alert or are you sleeping? God wants us to be ready, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. As Peter said in 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen him, Yet you love him. Do you love him? Send him a valentine. Say, Lord, I love you. Now, I want you to notice, because it's now our privilege in just a moment to come and surround the table of the Lord and to rejoice around this table with what Jesus did for us at Calvary at the Lord's Supper, the communion table. I want you to see that the Lord's table actually is to be a continual reminder to anticipate the marriage supper of the Lamb and to be ready for it. And that's why we celebrate. This is just a little foretaste of the great feast we're going to celebrate in heaven with Jesus. And I want to invite our worship team to come again and lead us, and our leaders will be coming to take their places as we prepare to serve the Lord's table. But I want you to ask that question: are you ready? Would you bow your head with me for just a moment? Dear friend, can you say you're ready for Jesus to come? If he were to come today, are you ready? Oh, Heavenly Father, as the Holy Spirit probes each of our hearts, as we each examine ourselves, as the Apostle Paul taught us, may we examine ourselves, and thus may we eat of this bread and drink of this cup. And for any who are with us today without the Savior, O Lord, bring them to Christ even right now. May they cry out to you from their hearts and say, O Lord, save me and prepare me for the wedding. In Jesus' name, amen.